Hello.
Welcome to Sit for a Spell, a podcast where we discuss the lore, the traditions, and modern practices of the occult.
Learn alongside us as we explore the many ways the witches of today observe their craft.
So grab your book of shadows,
light your candles.
It's time to sit for a spell.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Episode 3.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm James.
I'm Jess.
It's us.
It's us. Sit for a Spell podcast.
You know that because you're here.
I'm realizing now in episode 3 that in episode 2, we didn't do that.
Oh. They know who we are.
And we kind of introduce ourselves in our fancy smancy.
I don't think we do.
Intro. Oh.
That's
well,
okay.
If you well, download you're here, the
and
podcast.
I'm James and that's Jess and hello.
We know. Okay. Podcasting is hard.
We're still getting the hang of this.
There's a lot of things to remember. A lot of buttons. We talked about the buttons before.
Yeah, let's not get into it.
No. Okay. Today's episode is very exciting. Today is kind of another one of these 101s for the tarot. Yes. Last episode was crystals. Super awesome information in that episode. And this episode...
It got spooky.
It got spooky. We're not doing that today. I mean, you can if you want
My
to.
My life is spooky.
If you have another one at the end. But the tarot is a very interesting device. Mm-hmm. Some people are adamantly, it's just kind of a game, like a Ouija board or something else. Mm-hmm. And people like James and I, it holds a lot of truth. It holds a lot of weight. We visit the tarot very frequently, almost every day.
Almost daily, huh?
Just to get guidance. I wouldn't say it guides my life.
No.
But it highlights some things. It gives me some introspection. It gives me a little bit deeper meaning.
The great thing about tarot is it's all up to your own interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, even if you pull cards and it doesn't really have anything to do with your situation, you still interpret, it gives you like the answers you already know.
Yeah, exactly.
It just like puts things in perspective for you.
So like on, maybe you're having an off day, maybe you didn't meditate very hard, or some people don't meditate at all. They just pull a card and they're like, ooh, there we go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might have an off day and it might pull this card and you're like, well, this has nothing to do with what I asked. Or maybe it'll just literally reiterate your question. You're like, okay, this is where we are today.
Yeah. You're like, thanks for that.
Yeah. Like, okay, let's put them away. We're not doing this today.
Yeah.
So I want to preface by saying through my research, you do not need to know the history of tarot in order to enjoy the tarot. The history of tarot is actually, it's very interesting. It's very old.
Yeah. Most of these things are.
But the current weight and influence of the tarot is more Victorian.
Okay.
And then, like with crystals, there's this like really big Victorian surge.
Yes.
And then a drop off. Mm-hmm. And then picked back up in the 20th century.
Well, let's get into it.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
I want to start by saying I'm going to butcher all of these names. I apologize tremendously.
We're Americans.
You would think I would do better with names since I'm a teacher, but I think I'm actually worse.
Because you're a teacher?
Because I'm a teacher.
How does that work?
I don't know. I should be able to decode words.
Don't try to put excuses on why you don't know these. I don't know these names either. I'm not a teacher either.
Well.
I mean, whatever. Whatever that sentence was supposed to be.
I also want to apologize. I have a bit of a cold. So
that'd be fun.
So I got a lot of this beginning information from Patty Wingington and Brendan Coer. So the tarot probably originated in northern Italy in the very late 14th century to early 15th century. For those of you who are not historians, 14th century is 1300s, 15th century is 1400s. It's always one more.
Add one. We are on the 21st century.
We are.
Okay.
So the oldest surviving set is known as the Visconti Sforza deck. Yeah, better.
Sounds
not
good.
As Russian.
Not as Russian.
So this was made for the Duke of Milan's family around 1440. Now, these decks, these beginning tarot decks, they were called Tarocchi. And they were kind of like a bridge-like game. So they did have suits and numbers more similar to your average deck of cards than to a tarot deck.
Okay.
Now, something I'm just going to interject here as a historian is that during this time, there was a lot of patronage of the arts. So the more wealthy your family was, the more paintings you would pay for. You would hire someone, kind of like an artist, who would sometimes move into your home, and that artist would just paint your relatives, paint your backyard, wow, paint your dog, whatever. And
that's cool.
So these wealthy Italian families would get their decks personalized. And so that's where a lot of the imagery of like the pages, the knights, the kings, and the queens, yes, would come from. And it would be images of their family members.
That is really,
really cool. Yeah. So according to the historian Gertrude Moakley, the images that are on the cards that we see today, a lot of them were actually inspired by Carnival and different festive events throughout Europe, mm-hmm, especially the jester, the hermit, like things like that. And a lot of European artists were putting their own twists on the cards and what they would look like, what the suits would look like, mm-hmm, putting whimsical twists or more deeper, darker twists, religious twists, whatever they felt like.
Customizing.
And a lot of the times, these custom cards, it was only one deck because just
the one they made. And
there
was
no printing press. Johann Gutenberg hadn't made it yet.
I don't know who that is.
He's the inventor of the printing press.
I know that now.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You want to know the first book you ever printed?
The Bible?
Yes.
I fucking knew that. Stupid
only,
Bible.
It was the only book.
That's why there's so many copies of it.
Oh, man. So with all of that happening, these artists really started to focus on those suits that we see in modern tarot, the wands, the coins, the cups, and the swords. So back in the day, though, the wands were the staves, the coins were discs, cups were cups, and swords were swords, because swords were always a thing.
Okay.
So that game, Tarocchi, eventually spread all over the place, including France. And France, it got really popular, and that's where it was renamed Tarot. They dropped kind of the Italian part, made it more simple.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to become mystical or get that mystical connotation until like the 18th century.
1700s.
Yes, exactly. And that's when the occult came into vogue, which a lot of people say, you know, when they used to burn us.
You remember.
You know. So a lot of books were being written about Satanism and devil worship and witchcraft and things that weren't true.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah. And so a lot of these things were getting brought back up in the 18th century. This name. So, Antony Court de Gibelin. Sounds good.
That guy from Queer Eye.
Yeah, he was alive.
He looks great.
He wrote a book that got super popular, and this book connected the tarot to ancient Egyptian lore.
Oh.
Very specifically to the god Thoth, who is the god of writing, magic, and wisdom, and the moon.
Oh.
Now, to us, this makes a lot of sense, you know, because tarot, we love the moon, connection, cycles, all these
worship
things.
The
However,
moon.
He just kind of made it up a little bit.
I mean,
it's fine.
It's always all made up anyway.
But we do still see a lot of this connection today.
For sure.
Especially thinking back to the ways that Egyptian gods were and how there were gods for everything, and that seems a lot more plausible, mm-hmm, to people in our realm than one singular god and all the different influences that these gods had and the things that they explained. But this guy had no tangible proof, but that didn't stop him, and it didn't stop his ideas
Doesn't
from getting
stop
really
anybody.
Popular. No. So jumping a little bit to 1791, Jean-Baptiste Elite, a French occultist, he released the first tarot deck that was designed specifically for
Divination.
There you go.
I got you.
So this isn't going to be your average parlor game anymore. This is going to be the first true tarot deck where you're going to have the imagery and the size of the deck that we're used to seeing today. And this is going to be based off of kind of that original tarotchi or the French tarot. Now, going a little bit more into it, as the tarot expands, it gets being connected to Judaism, very specifically ancient tradition with the Kabbalah.
Okay.
And this is just kind of like a mystical interpretation of the Bible that ancient Judaism had.
Right.
Which, again, makes a lot of sense. You have these like stories and arches and themes that really do connect, but we can see that in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then jumping a little bit more into 1800s and 1900s, the popularity of the tarot in Victorian times is gonna explode.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time
they love spooky shit.
They
love it.
I mean, I don't think you could go to a seance or a dinner without a seance.
Why would you want to?
Why? There's no point. So, seance, palm reading, and the tarot really boomed. Which, I mean, they didn't have television, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, this is where the two decks that we see all over the place come into play.
Okay.
So, in 1909, the Waite-Smith deck is going to be created. Now, this is the deck that you see a lot. Kind of has a white background with kind of yellow. Mm-hmm. There's a man. He's wearing a yellow kind of like tunic on it. It's very popular. Mm-hmm. They're the cheapest deck you can get.
Yes.
But this is kind of like...
Say the name again.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. I don't know if it's the Waite-Smith or the Waite-Smith.
Oh, okay. Yes. You see those fucking everywhere.
Yeah. So Arthur Wyatt is the one. I think it is Wyatt. Let's just say it's Wyatt. He's the one who's going to kind of develop the how-to guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then a woman is the one who actually illustrated it, Pamela Coleman Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur was part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Okay.
Which I want to belong to. That sounds like a really awesome group. And they actually sit and collaborate to make this deck look as original as possible to those first Italian decks.
Cool.
Yeah, with those kind of like...
Yeah, they are very Italian feeling. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of that kind of like... Greek Italian looking men and women with the togas and all that jazz. Very kind of like slightly art deco, there's simple like, colors, things like that.
Grapes.
Yes, there are grapes. they're going to use the original cups, coins, wands, and swords. Then around the exact same time, and some people say these guys were enemies.
I'm going to choose to believe that.
Aleister Crowley.
Love Aleister Crowley.
Love that name. He's going to develop a card deck called the Book of Thoth. So he's taking some of his ideas from that Jean-Baptiste guy, as well as putting in some of those modern, well, 1909 modern.
Still pretty modern.
Deck. Yeah. This deck definitely looks a little more mystical than the Waite-Smith deck. It's still really pretty. There's a lot of yin and yang. I mean, the yin yang is right on the cover. But those are kind of like the two that really catapulted modern tarot. Those two decks. And that was in the 1900s.
That wasn't that long. It was like barely 100 something years ago.
That was like 1909, 1910. So for about the last 100 years, there's been this like really big resurgence of what we know today as modern tarot. And over that time, a lot of the imagery and meaning behind cards has really been narrowed down and focused to what we know today into the how-to guides that usually come with our decks. Something that's really awesome about the tarot is that... they have the same base or foundational meaning mm-hmm. Across all decks. You might come across an artist who is more imaginative or even more simple. Mm-hmm. So those decks are... someone might be more inclined to get one of those if they have a deeper background in tarot, because it's going to be a little bit harder to interpret. And then the White Smith deck, the Book of Thoth deck, and a lot of the modern decks are really awesome for...
God, there's so many.
There's hundreds.
It's like...
I tried to find a number.
There's like Game of Thrones decks.
RuPaul.
There's RuPaul. There's like Golden Girls tarot. Yes. There's like literally everything.
Everything. There is literally a tarot deck for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's something that you really want to do. You, if you're not going to be gifted a deck, which, really quick sidebar, there are two kind of like
schools of thought,
on gifting tarot or not. Mm-hmm. So some people are... yes, your first deck or all of your decks need to be gifted. Or no, if you just feel pulled to a deck, go ahead and get that deck. My first deck was gifted, but the deck the most, I bought myself.
Yeah.
So it just really depends. And I don't think...
I don't think there's a wrong way to do it.
No, I don't think there's a wrong way.
I was always brought up. I always believed... Your first deck should be gifted. Mm-hmm. I don't know why or where that comes from, but that is something I've always heard. So I kind of always have stuck
to.
That's
a nice sentiment.
Yeah. But now I have no problem buying myself decks. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do use my gifted deck probably the most.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the cards themselves, and I got a lot of this from Beth Asaf and a website called Tarot Studies. So, I mean, we know a lot of this information. Yeah. So there's 56 minor arcana cards. There's 22 major arcana cards. There's the ace card and then 2 through 10. And then there's your face cards. Now, your face cards, you can have two forms, kind of. You can have the traditional page, king, queen, knight, or mm-hmm. you can have the daughter, father, mother, son. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Neither holds more significance than the other. It just depends on the artist.
Just the style.
Yeah. Now, your face cards... have more of a personification. They're mm-hmm. more characteristics, maybe describing a person more so than a situation.
Yeah.
Then your numbered cards and your ace, those are kind of going to be informational cards. Those are going to be the foundations that are going to really hold up your major arcana mm-hmm. cards. Those are kind of like setting the stage for what those 22 cards are going to mm-hmm. tell you. So your major arcana, these are going to hold the greatest importance in your deck. So wherever they fall in your spread, those pieces are going to hold a little bit more weight in your reading. Mm-hmm. And then any of the other minor arcana, those are going to kind of just fill in information that is relevant, but it's really going to be pointing to what those major arcana cards are going to be telling you. Just a little bit more, some connections. We do have the Wands, Swords, Cups, and Pentacles. Your wands are going to be connected to fire, your swords to air, cups obviously to water, and pentacles to earth. Your major arcana really focus on the soul, the spirit, or your spiritual path. And then there are some other little details here. So wands are really kind of like... motivational states. They really talk about career and mm-hmm. job and kind of like long-term motivation, taking action, your desires, inspirations, things like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a, sometimes they can also be kind of like a stop and smell the roses. And a lot of the times the wands are actually vines and plants and things like that. They're very floral, very earthy. Yeah. Yes. Your swords, this is going to be a more intellectual, more logical,
fancy.
Yeah. They're going to be kind of like mental activity. Your kind of like strategic thought, your intellect, your reasoning, deep analysis. Those are really an intellectual suit. then you're going to have your cups. And I mean, your cups are your emotions. Mm. They're very relationship, whether that's a love relationship or a familiar relationship. It's about reflection and your subconscious, but these really do reflect a lot of the time relationship. Going into pentacles, these can be material. It can be financial. Obviously, the pentacles is a coin. You'll get these a lot if you're asking financial questions. If you have fears about finances, these will start to pop up. This is going to be a practical pull. It's going to be about material concerns, possessions, earthliness, groundedness, strength, money, wealth, any of those. Then any of those major arcana cards, any of those 22, it's going to really be about your spiritual path, your soul, your mortality, ethics, religion, philosophy, karma, if that's something that you ascribe to. That's really where those heavy hitter cards are going to be. Okay. Any questions so far?
No.
Excellent. So, the tarot is a deeply intuitive thing. It is structured in a way that no matter what the question you ask, a path will be laid out for you.
Yeah.
The tarot isn't going to answer yes or no.
Nope.
You can do single card pulls. You can break the middle of the deck. You can pull from the top. You can just pull a random card, wait for something to jump out at you. But none of them are ever going to tell you yes or no. They can get pretty close. They can give you a positive or a negative vibe.
Yeah.
But they're not going to say yes.
You should take that job.
Do that. It's going to say,
here are the lotto numbers.
No.
Yeah.
It's going to say, well, you know what? Based on this, that some positive things might be coming your way.
If you just follow your instincts. And a lot of the times, I don't know about you, but a lot of the times my cards are like, you already know what to do.
Oh, all the time.
And I'm like, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Like, or they're like, I told you last time and you still haven't done it.
Yeah, when it'll give you like the exact same spread. And you're like, I know.
You're like, I get it.
However.
But I need some extra information. And they're like,
do it again.
No. I already told you.
Yeah. I've done that. I've so done that. And then it'll give me like almost the exact same spread, like two of the three same cards. And then I'll be like, okay, you've told me this already. Let's do it again. And then it'll give me some totally won't even make sense. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Thanks.
It's like, no, I'm done talking to you.
I'm not going to help you anymore tonight.
Yeah.
So let's talk about spreads. There are spreads up the wazoo. You can find spreads. any general tarot guide that comes with your deck is going to give you some of the basic spreads. Now, you have your yearly spread, which generally will give you a card per the 12 months of the year.
I'd love to do that.
Some people will actually do this on Samhain. Some people will do it
on New Year's.
Yeah. Because to us, in our emotional state, as a Western civilization, New Year's is our start of the year.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do it at harvest because that is the start of their year. Now, like I said before, you can do single card pulls. That's going to give you more of a vague answer. The more cards you pull, the deeper the answer you will get. You do have to be mindful, however, that the more cards you pull, the more information there's going to be. You're going to have to keep track. Don't be afraid to write things down. Don't be afraid to take a picture and come back, do research, write it out as you go. That is totally fine. You don't have to you don't have to feel that you're going to sit and look at your spread and just know.
And just know. Yeah.
No.
I mean, I still, even though I've been using the deck I've had for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
I still have to look at my guidebook every time. Because I'm like, oh, wait, like, what is that again? You know, like you just.
Because you don't get every card all the time.
No. There are some cards you get all the damn time. But there's some cards I've never even seen before.
Yeah. There's a handful of cards in my deck that I have never pulled.
Yep. Same.
And that's because those cards are not relevant to me.
Yeah.
And to people that I've done readings for.
Yeah, you'll pull them up and you're like, oh, whoa, dang, I've never seen this card before.
In there.
Yeah, like, what the hell is that?
So when you're doing spreads, do not absolutely be afraid to write things down, to take pictures. Do whatever you need to do to get the reading that you want.
I always take a picture when I do my yearly spread.
Yeah.
I always take a picture. That way, later, I can go back and be like, with how accurate was that? Or, you know, mm-hmm. because it's very easy in January to be like, oh, you're going to have a time of, which this literally happened to me, of emotional upheaval in June and July. Like, mm-hmm. look out, be on the lookout. And you're like, okay, like, yeah. whatever. And then June and July comes and you're like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? And you go, you go back and it's like,
well, it warned you.
They were right.
Yeah.
they told you.
They told you. So spreads are all over the place. You can look at Instagram, Pinterest. You could look at your tarot guide. Yeah. You can look at mystical occult websites, blogs.
And you they can keep it easy. Just do one pull.
And you can make your own, because tarot is all about your inner intuition. Mm-hmm. So if you're shuffling your cards and if you're expressing your intentions internally or even vocally, and you're saying, I'm going to pull this, this, and this, and this is what I want them to mean, mm-hmm. and you are really pushing for that internally, then that's what the meaning is going yeah. to be. You can totally make up your own spreads. You just have to internalize what you are asking and where those cards are going
make
to
fall. Make it clear what you're trying to
yes.
learn.
Now, kind of a hot topic with the tarot.
Like the store?
Yeah.
Oh. They're probably in Hot Topic.
You know, I've never seen any. Maybe I've that's never, where they draw the line.
They're like, like Mr. Topic is like, yeah.
Reversals. Reversals in yes. tarot. Now, if you go to a professional mm-hmm. who is going to read your tarot, they are going to do reversals mm-hmm. Because they are someone who considers themselves a professional and they have a very deep understanding of their deck and they mm-hmm. can give you those deeper meanings. Mm-hmm. Some people say that reversals are all doom and gloom and negativity and they do not prefer to read mm-hmm. reversals.
I don't do reversals.
I don't do them because I don't think I'm strong enough yet to do them.
Yeah. I don't think I have a great enough understanding.
Yeah, exactly.
To interpret that kind of thing.
And that is something to understand. So if you're a beginning tarot reader and you have your first deck, you've only been doing it for a little while, don't feel bad about not doing reversals. You do mm-mm. not have to
you
do
don't
it.
Have to.
Again, tarot is about your internal
understanding intuition.
Of the cards. Yeah. yeah. So if you're not going to do reversals and you mentally understand you're not going to do reversals, your deck is not going to give you cards that need to be reversed.
Yes.
Sure, you're going to get cards that are upside down, but you know what you do?
Flip them over.
Easy peasy.
I don't do reversals.
No.
Yeah, it's
you totally don't have to.
You don't.
And I think down the road as I get more and more in tune with my deck and I start to have a deeper understanding, I might try for myself personally. Mm-hmm. Because in my research, I've learned that reversals don't need to be doom and gloom. And that a lot of professionals might use them in that way just because it's more dramatic. It's a little bit more theatrical. Mm. But those might be those professionals who don't necessarily have perhaps a deeper meaning.
Or they do and they're just trying to give you a good show.
Motivated, yeah. Reversals can be as basic as blocked energy.
Okay.
So say you get a reversed cups card. And it might be an emotional block towards a relationship. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be you're never getting married in your life.
Right.
It could just mean maybe you have some kind of like internalized block that's causing yeah. you to not be able to step into a committed relationship. It doesn't have to be doom and gloom. It can just be blocked energies,
and that's
negative energies.
Any card
exactly.
that you pull.
Because something that I really like in the deck that we use,
the Wild Unknown.
Yeah, we use the Wild Unknown Tarot by Kim Kranz, and very coincidentally too.
Yeah,
we didn't know we had the same one, and then we texted. I can't remember who started it, but one of us texted a spread to the other, and we were like, "Hey,
we have the exact same deck. Yeah, I have those cards.
And they happen to be the ones that we use the most. The same deck. It's the same deck. It's,
which is a gorgeous deck. It's a wonderful deck for beginners as well.
It's animals.
Very simple. Very beautiful. Stylized. It's gorgeous.
It's like everything's like rainbow colors.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely beautiful.
It's like the two stark contrasts. It's rainbow with black and white.
Yeah.
So it's just gorgeous. Yeah,
it's not like Lisa Frank rainbow. No,
it's a very affordable deck as well. So yeah, if you're interested, again, The Wild Unknown by Kim Kranz. But reversals. Do you need them? No.
Yeah, she doesn't even include them.
She doesn't even bring up reversals as a thing that exists. So
she does. She talks about it in the scene. But
in
she,
the beginning.
And the thing, she's like, this is a thing. I don't want to do that thing, so you don't have to.
Yeah. And sometimes when you get a informational tarot guide, it will have a page of the main meanings of the card, but then it'll also have a little blurb or a whole separate page for reversal.
Yes.
The deck that I was given, it kind of has like a infographic at the bottom of each page for reversals. They're because, so again, a lot of people don't hold super strong value to the reversal.
Yeah.
So if you're not comfortable, just flip that card right over.
Skip over.
Say okay. Now, something I wanted to do, because our last episode was about crystals, is I wanted to talk about some of the crystals that you can use to enhance your tarot. Now, this can be either meditating or doing intentions before you dive in, because a lot of people will meditate or do a breathing exercise beforehand to ground themselves, to have a better connection. I personally will hold my deck in my hands. I have my clear quartz on top of my deck. So, usually my left hand has the deck sitting in it and my right hand has my clear quartz, and I'm kind of like holding it all together, kind of like cupping it all together. I sit, usually I'm on my bed. I have lights off. I have my salt lamp on, and I just kind of like breathe for a couple minutes until I feel grounded. And then I do this little call to the elements that I made up myself, just because it makes me feel comfortable and open. I like to do, I guess, kind of like a mini circle. I don't open a full circle, but I have kind of like a mini internalized circle.
Yeah.
So I call the elements three times. I do this little chant, like 5 seconds, and then I'll go. So my clear quartz helps me ground myself.
Yes.
So other things you can use. smoky quartz and black tourmaline are really awesome to have on if you have a cloth that you do tarot, or just right next to you on the table that you're using, whatever. Okay. Those two, smoky quartz and black tourmaline, are really awesome for kind of like kicking out or blocking negative energies that might impact your read. The smoky quartz also kind of centers your solar plexus, which will kind of like clear things up a little bit more for you. Garnet or tiger's eye is really fantastic for grounding.
Yes.
So these two are going to be awesome if you want to meditate for a second, maybe hold one in your hand while you're doing some breathing exercises before you dive in.
Okay.
Selenite is that beautiful kind of like milky white. Usually they come in like a wand form. A lot of the times I'll keep mine on my cloth. And this is just kind of like to enhance psychic abilities. So, and it's really good at kind of unlocking the past and looking forward into the future, kind of like a beacon, which is awesome. Again, clear quartz, not only used to ground and to clear, but it magnifies energies and enhances your focus, especially if you're going to, I believe in the last episode, James explained that if you're going to have a pointed crystal, it's really going to focus that energy, enhance that energy. My clear quartz is pointed. And so that's why I use it a lot with my cards, because it really enhances that energy. Other stones that you can use to meditate beforehand. Moonstone is a really good stone to use for intuition.
I love moonstone. I don't have a moonstone.
I don't either. I think they're so pretty.
They're expensive, kind of.
Yeah, I think that's why.
Yeah.
I'm cheap. Except the $20 I spent on my Kyrite, but
it's all right.
It's so pretty. Kyanite. I keep calling Kyrite. Anyways, aquamarine. I never thought about this, but if you're going to read a loved one or someone you're super close to and you don't want to like project yourself on your cards, meditating beforehand with aquamarine with intention is going to kind of give a mild separation that you're not going to push yourself into their reading.
Got it.
Which is really interesting because I did a reading on a friend at that gathering we had, and his girlfriend was sitting right next to me on the chair while I was doing his reading, and the cards totally picked up on her.
Oh, okay.
And the reading was for both of them.
Yeah.
And wasn't just for him and did not answer his question. He asked a very kind of like logical question, and the spread was relationship focused. And she was kind of like touching me, and that was really interesting. And so I feel like maybe if we're going to do a gathering of friends or a loved one, meditating ahead of time with aquamarine
might
be
really
good.
That was really fun. So it was, we had really a gathering fun for Halloween. Mm-hmm. We got dressed up all fancy and it was like no costumes. Everyone was like dressed fancy. And we had tarot, and Jess and I did the tarot readings, and it was really fun. That's the first time I've ever done it. Like, I mean, I've done it for like my mom and my sister, like just, you know, for fun or whatever. But like doing it for like our friends or like extended friends or friends of friends, you know, like there were some people there I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And they sat and we did their readings. It was really fun. It was really interesting.
It was. And something that was really awesome is that I didn't really expect very much to come from the readings. Before we started doing this, I had a lot of anxiety kind of like coming out of the witch closet, the broom closet. And but everyone, I think every single person in the party had a reading, and they were like focused
at least
on
once.
It and into at least once. And they were into it and
they were like
excited about
that answered
it.
My question.
Yeah.
Like,
and
that
I
makes
thought
so
that
much
was
sense.
Really interesting.
And it a lot of the times, like I would tell them, like, think about what you're. A lot of the times I would tell them, like, think about what you're asking. Don't tell me, because then I wouldn't have that, like,
exactly.
As to interpret. Like, just think about it, put it out there, let them cut the deck, let them touch the deck, like, whatever. Because I think a lot of times there can be those people who just go off of your question.
Yeah.
And kind of just tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. And same, I had, like, very low expectations. And I even told them, like, I'm not a professional. We're doing this for fun. Let's see what happens. I would say 9 times out of 10, it was like, they were like, yes, this meant, this gave me answers. This is what I was thinking. This means, this applies to whatever I was thinking, this and that. So it was like really fun to tap into
it
that
was.
Part and to like do it for other people. Usually only do it for myself or maybe my mom.
Or my husband. And I think the first couple ones after we were really getting into it and people were really like, can I go next? Like, and then like line started.
There was like a line.
And I'm like, go do stuff. Like, come back.
And then there was a part at the end where I was tired. And
I was a little tipsy.
I wasn't tipsy. Well, I had to drive. But I was really tired and I could tell.
I was drained.
That's when things were like.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's when the readings were less accurate.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, okay, yeah, I could see. Or, you know, like they were trying to like humor me a little. But I was like, I was totally drained.
Yeah. I was very honest with the last two people. I had been, because I thought we were done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was drinking more.
Yeah, everybody
I
had
like
had
another
gone
glass of wine. And I was like walking around doing stuff. And then these two ladies were like, oh, like, can we go? Like, we never got a chance. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I sat down and I was like, whoa. And I told them, I was like, okay, I'm going to like attempt and we're going to see what happens. But like, I'm a little tired. I'm a little tipsy. And they're like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
And like the first one was like spot on. And the girl was like, oh my God. And she was like, yeah. And then after that, like 10 minutes of sitting with her, like my wine really sunk in. And then I felt bad. But like the next girl, I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's okay.
Yeah. It's crazy how much energy it takes.
Oh yeah. The next day I was so drained. I was just completely drained.
Yeah.
But it
you were
was
also
still
hungover.
Yes. That probably contributed
yeah.
a lot more. But it was really fun. And I think people are a lot more open-minded.
Yeah,
these days,
definitely.
People are a lot more willing to try things these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think like the tarot crystal, like witchy occult thing is like coming back into fashion.
It's very in right now.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. very like Gwyneth Paltrow selling
yes.
jade eggs to put in your vagina. Like,
I mean, don't knock it till you try it.
No, but I mean, she sells them for like $400.
$400.
Like, I don't know if they're $400. Like... I made that number up.
No, I'm sure they're $400.
Yeah, I mean, like people are monetizing on this kind of stuff. So I think
absolutely,
it's very much more accepted.
Yes,
mm-hmm. which is great.
It is great.
For those of us.
And I love
them. You don't have to hide anymore.
No. And again, so the history of tarot, it was a game. It was mm-hmm. a parlor game. And people started to realize it could be more than a parlor game.
Yeah.
And so they just started, it just started to evolve, and it took a while to evolve.
And what's funny is people will do tarot with regular cards too.
Yeah. That's how it started.
Yeah. Like regular
a deck of cards.
Yeah.
There are some tarot that are just very designed decks of cards.
I played this game. It said game on the cover. It's like a Russian. I don't remember what it was called. It was like Russian dream cards or something like that. That could be wrong. Mm-hmm. It was like Russian something cards, but it was like a game. You used all the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there were 20 of them.
Yeah,
maybe 25. You would put them in rows, and then they all had like, they were hexagons, and each side of the hexagon had half a picture. So you laid them all in rows.
Yeah.
Then you had to match up the two halves of the picture,
uh-huh.
and whatever ones matched up, that was your fortune.
Oh.
So then you had to go through,
yeah.
match them all up,
uh-huh.
which side of the hexagon are they facing, like yeah. up, down, like right corner, left corner, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then depending on which way they faced and which ones you matched up, those were your, like your fortunes. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
That sounds really cool. I've never heard of that before.
I'll have to find out what it's called.
Yeah.
He's my cousin. He's the Freemason.
Oh.
He had them.
Oh, cool.
So maybe I'll have him, we're going to have him on soon.
Yeah,
I'll have him bring them and we can play.
Even if I could just look at him.
Yeah. We can play. It's super fun. And it was like spot on.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's cool.
It was really cool.
Oracle cards are getting really popular too.
Yes.
And those are coming in all shapes and forms. There's sex magic oracle cards and love and finance and animals and just so many different kinds of oracle cards. And I think those, a lot of them originated with kind of like angel cards. And runes and things like that, which we will get into more later in the series. But oracle cards are super popular too.
Tarot is super fun.
It's awesome.
It can be, it's you can use it as guidance mm-hmm. in your daily life, but it can be just a game too. Yeah.
And some people have multiple decks where one deck is more heavy duty and you're mm-hmm. going to get your deeper understanding. Some decks are sassy.
Yeah, some decks don't agree with you. Some decks don't like you.
No, and they just won't
work. You don't
work.
Like some decks.
No, it just will feel like a weird vibe.
And I think that's why I stick to these wild unknown ones. Mm-hmm. The first deck I got, I think, they were gifted. And it's just, they've never, all the other ones I've tried have been like, oh, meh, whatever. Yeah, yeah, like mm-hmm. off. I've always felt a connection to these ones.
Yeah. I've only ever had two. The one that was gifted to me was gifted to me by my mom. Mm-hmm. I had super strong connection to that one. Very good vibes. I think because of the way it was gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe
then
that's
this
why
one,
I do with this one.
I saw it and I was like, oh, I want that one.
Yeah.
And then super strong vibes from the get-go. Super positive, happy vibes. It's always a...
Very optimistic.
There's... Even when it's kind of like... not the answer you want to hear or something that might sound a little intimidating for the future, there's always kind of like a positive spin on it, which is awesome. And some people might not like that. Some people might want more cut and dry.
True.
But you just have to work with different decks. If you have friends who are comfortable with it, test and their decks out.
All different price points. There's $2, $5, oh my gosh. $10.
I was looking at some of those Book of Thoth ones by Crowley. Some of those are going for like $400 and it's like crazy.
Yeah.
But you could still get a deck for like $15 at the same time. So it's just decks that are more older decks.
Yeah. So it's there's definitely out there. If you're trying to get your tarot on, there's something for everybody.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. So what you got? You got a little, any more little notes there?
I think that's it.
All right.
So just test it out. See what works for you. Don't be scared. There's no wrong way.
Have fun.
Yeah. And if you can't memorize your cards, you don't memorize your cards.
That's what the book is for.
And if you can memorize them and you have a really good memory, sweet.
Yeah, even better.
Just whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you happy. You
just get it done.
You.
You do you, boo-boo.
You do you. Witchy moment.
Well, I told a really scary story last time, so maybe I'll try to make it positive this time.
I have kind of like a quirky one from Ireland.
Go for it.
Okay, so I went to Ireland over the summer, and we were going on a hike to a Torque waterfall. Mm-hmm. This is in Killarney. Okay. It's in forest. Gorgeous.
Torque.
So I have very strong connections to forests and woods. I walk in there and I just feel everything. Just so much. Just kind of like vibrating. And so I'm in Ireland. Vibrations are happening literally as I step off the plane. And so we're on this hike and we had just started. We were maybe like not very far in. You have to kind of... you hike straight in. The waterfall's not far. It's literally right there. And then you go up these gorgeous stairs that are like built into this gorgeous mountain in the forest with the waterfall behind you. And Ireland, go if you can. But there were these really pretty flowers. And I like to get nature keepsakes to dry and things like that. And it was this little white flower. And they kind of like were growing on the banks of the river that the waterfall was coming into. And I was talking to my husband and I was like, I wonder if it'd be bad if I picked one. And like I walked over to it. And as soon as I stopped talking, a crow landed and screamed at me.
He was like, no.
He was like, do not touch that flower. And I like stepped back and I was like, and I talked to the crow and I was like, okay, I won't touch it. And like, I knew that that's what the crow was telling me. And I was just like, okay.
That is so funny.
Yeah. And so I just, it was just like instinctual. I stepped back. Said directly into the crow's face, okay, I'm sorry, I won't take it. And then I was like, my husband looked at me and he was like, he does not want you to take it. And I was like, I'm not going to. And then we like kept going.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love crows.
That's why I was crows. Like listening to the crow.
We talk.
I'm not going to.
So we've talked about this on our other podcast. But
oh, yeah.
I read this story once about a little girl who would like feed crows in her backyard. She would just like throw them a chip or, you know, like a piece of bread or whatever. And then eventually they started bringing her gifts.
So
like
smart.
Little like pebbles or little like, you know, bottle caps or whatever, shiny stuff, rocks, whatever. And like, it's like what they do to for each other.
Yeah.
Like crows give each other gifts.
Yeah.
Like little shiny things that they find. And I'm like... I really want that to happen. I really want a crow to bring me a gift.
But you gotta start feeding the crows.
Well, the problem is I have so many cats.
That's true.
And
they won't land
I have
in
found
your yard.
Pigeons and little, those little, what are they, like the little tiny birds, like sparrows.
Finches and stuff.
Yeah. I found them all over my yard and I can't do that to a crow.
Poor birdies.
They're so pretty. I have so many crows in my neighborhood too. But yeah, I love crows. But yeah, that's a really cool story. I love that.
It like
they're so
always
smart.
Stuck with me and I was just like fine
You're like, fine, whatever, I won't. Or when the, I always do that when the crows, when I go outside and they squawk, like mm-hmm. I'll always be like, hi, or you know, I talk to them. Yeah. Yeah. I love them so much.
Sometimes, okay, I'll talk to them on my school campus and I'll be like, oh, I hope no one saw me do that.
You go, hey, Albert.
Kids are like, Miss, are you talking to the crows?
And you're like,
yes.
Yeah. You don't hear them? They don't talk back to you? My witchy moment, it's not really a moment. It's kind of something that's been ongoing for a little bit, but I've been through quite a few changes in the last few months. Mm-hmm. I don't mind saying, I'm going through a divorce, and which has really like pushed me into that needing that like guidance mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever extra help I can get here and there. And one of the things I did was I totally like threw all of my furniture out of my room. I painted, I'm rearranging, I'm hanging stuff up. And it's like really coming together. Yeah. I only have like one or two more little things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it feels really good. Like being like walking into my room, like mm-hmm. it feels calm.
Yeah.
And it feels homey. Like, and it did before, but now it's like my space. It's like mine.
Yeah, you took the time. It's a cleansing. It's a renewal.
Yeah, and I like literally did a cleansing. And like now I put my altar up. And mm-hmm. like, you know, not that I had to hide anything before, but it was a shared space before.
Yeah.
And now it's like, this is my space. And it's like a little oasis. And I love the feeling of coming home every day, going into my room. Mm-hmm. I love the color of the walls. It's cute. My bedding. Mm-hmm. I love like everything. It's just now I'm like have more candles up and I'm starting to get like more art that I love. And you know, I'm just like really making it me. So like that's
good.
Something I've really been treasuring mm-hmm. these past like few months is being able to do that for myself.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's something that you need, because if you don't have a space that you can feel comfort and peace in, then you're not always going to get what you want out of readings or intentions or
You have to feel very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good. My little happy moment. It's different from my scary story last time.
Yeah, I didn't like that story.
No. Literally cried.
I blame part of it on my watery allergy eyes.
Yeah, that's okay.
But just part of it. I really did cry. It was scary. No ghosts this time.
No, not this time. Just, and I could tell you 100 stories. But yeah, that's tarot.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions about anything we said, if you have corrections to anything we said, if you know how to pronounce DM people's names correctly, I mean, we could have looked up YouTube videos, but that's not what this podcast is about.
No.
Again, we are not the end all, say all. We are learning as we are going. That is what this podcast is about.
We love to learn. And so if you have information that we missed or information that mm-hmm. we got incorrect, please politely
hit us up.
Let us know.
Yeah.
DM us Instagram, Sit for a Spell Pod. Follow us on there. Mm-hmm. Follow the stories. We'll post pictures about stuff we've been talking about. Tell us what your favorite deck is, mm-hmm. what your favorite card is.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sit for a Spell.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on all social media at Sit for a Spell Pod.
If you have anything you would like us to discuss or want to share your own practices, please email us at sitforaspellpod@gmail.com.
Until next time,
blessed be.